Good evening, everyone. Thanks for coming. My name is Ron Ressler. I'm the pastor here at Living Hope. Many of you probably know that Dave and Carol, along with Dick and Lois Landis, planted this congregation 21 years ago. And one of my clearest memories of Carol is her attempting to console my screaming daughter whenever we would have any kind of children's ministry activity. And so I'm thankful for Carol's efforts in doing that. She was a real trooper, Carol, that is, not my daughter. But my daughter married last year. She is a bride in her first year of marriage, so that turned out well also. As followers of Jesus, there are times when the words that we say don't seem to line up with logic. For instance, we say, God is good all the time. We say that. I suspect many of you have said that, if not all of you. But we often go through things that don't feel that good in the moment. Another example is what we have called this tonight. We've called it a celebration of life. And you could ask the question, how is it that we can call something a celebration when there's so much sadness attached to it? The reason we can say God is good all the time, and the reason we can call something like tonight a celebration, is because of our faith. Tonight we find ourselves in a dual reality, where two seemingly opposite things are both true. There is no contradiction in grieving the loss of a precious loved one and celebrating her current enjoyment of a heavenly reality beyond our comprehension. There's no contradiction there. There's no contradiction in the mingling of joy and sadness, laughter and tears. As we encounter these dual realities in life's journey, it allows us to repeat another oft-heard phrase among Christ followers, and that is, it is well with my soul. This phrase is an expression of trust in a loving Father who gives good gifts to his children, even when we don't always understand everything that's happening, and even when seeing the good in circumstances is difficult. We can still, by faith and trust, say, it is well with my soul. Let's pray. Perfect and loving Heavenly Father, we have gathered tonight in the dual reality of mourning and rejoicing. We invite the presence of your Spirit into the midst of both. We ask for comfort, encouragement, hope, and joy. We also ask that you move each of us closer to you, to a place of deepening trust. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We'll begin tonight with worship. Our worship team is almost entirely from Life Church Lancaster, led by Ashlyn Hollinger, who's right behind me, with the exception of a guest vocalist, Sarah Webster, from Woodland Community Church. And they'll be leading us in worship tonight. Following our time of worship, Dwayne Metzler, associate pastor from New Life Fellowship in Ephrata, will then come to lead the time of sharing.
All right. Well, we understand that these songs that we're about to sing really meant a lot to Carol. So I invite you to stand, and if you know these songs, we encourage you to sing along. If you don't know these songs and you're not familiar, we would just encourage you to really contemplate the words that we're singing.
Sinner's heart. children, remember your promise, oh God. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for you. Your grace. Heaven's glory, clothed in mercy, knew my story, yet took my end. Oh, what freedom, hope like heaven, I'm forgiven, I will rise again. Oh, what grace I found in you, my Jesus, that my soul should enter into your greatness. Should this life hold nothing but my Savior, I will praise you always. Oh, what grace I found in you, my Jesus, that my soul should entertain your greatness. Should this life hold nothing but my Savior, I will praise you always. Should this life I live hold nothing but the cross where Jesus took my shame? With both arms stretched wide, my head held high, my every breath will sing again. Should this life I live hold nothing but the cross where Jesus took my shame? With arms stretched wide, my head held high, my every breath will sing again. Should this life I
couldn't help but think, as Ron introduced this as a time to worship, what Carol's perspective of worship would be tonight and what she could teach us about worship tonight. She is in a place of the presence of God being so real, so powerful, that it's hard for us to comprehend that. But we are here tonight to celebrate her life and to celebrate the God that she knew and worshiped well. I had the privilege of knowing Dave and Carol and their family for about 30 years. Dave's first pastorate was my home church at Grace Community Fellowship in Mannheim. And then a few years later, we planted a church at Millersville University. And so my wife and I and Dave and Carol spent many hours together imagining, dreaming, envisioning what a church at a college campus would look like. And one of the things I really appreciated about Carol during those years was she would often bring the lighter side to ministry into our presence, because Dave had his office and he and I could sit in there probably for hours just thinking and planning and praying together, and Carol would often bring the lighter side to it, and I appreciated that about her. And so for those 6 years that we spent together at Millersville University, both of them were very integral parts of our lives and certainly shaped who we've become today. And so tonight we want to share a few memories of the special things that Carol impacted us with. She obviously touched a lot of lives, hundreds here tonight and many more. So they've selected five persons that they wanted to come and share tonight, and we'll begin with Melanie Horning, who will come and share some stories, memories, thoughts on Carol Whipper.
Hi. My name is Melanie, and I am married to Kevin Horning, who is pastor at New Life Fellowship, one of the HopeNet network of churches that Dave and Carol oversaw when they lived in Pennsylvania. I remember one of my first extended conversations with Carol at a monthly breakfast for HopeNet pastors' wives. I wasn't sure what to expect from this network relationship. I wondered if our sharing would be mostly professional, centered on ministry and spiritual matters. How wrong I was. Carol invited us to share our joys and oh boys of life. Anything from our ordinary rhythm of life was welcomed, and then we prayed for each other. It was a simple practice, the sharing of joys and oh boys, one I went on to incorporate in the middle school Sunday school class I taught and other small groups I led. I will remember this simple practice she initiated for the space it gave each one of us to verbalize our gratitude, speak about what was troubling us, and receive prayer. However, what also is memorable to me at that Bob Evans restaurant eating eggs and toast was the animated conversation she began about finding a pair of jeans that fit well. How we laughed about the art of finding great jeans that aren't mom jeans. I hope these aren't, Carol. I will always remember how much Carol preferred jeans and flip-flops over dresses and heels. It was a beginning for me, this welcome she extended to a place of understanding, belonging, and grace for women married to ministry leaders. Carol's life taught me two main things about living this life we've been gifted. First, she modeled creativity and contentment with life. She was not one who felt limited by her resources or who complained about her lack. She focused on creative solutions to achieve personal and family goals, including hospitality to friends, family, and strangers, decorating their home, throwing a party, planning an affordable getaway to Florida with her girlfriends, or dreaming with Dave about all the possibilities for exploring the abundant blessings that this life offers. She would laugh about their poor years when Dave was in seminary as we ate her famous oatmeal bread, the bread she made for her family when money was scarce, but laughter and fun were not. Carol modeled for me a philosophy of creative frugality that bought her freedom to invest in people and the kingdom of God. Secondly, she taught me to embrace adventures in life. She enjoyed change with an enthusiasm I had a hard time getting my mind around. She welcomed moves, downsizing, upsizing, downsizing again, holding the stuff of this world loosely, I think because of her confidence in her creativity and her confidence in God, which leads me to how she taught me about God. She demonstrated to me in words and practice a deeply rooted trust in God. From the time I met her and heard her life stories to sharing with us in the ups and downs of ministry life, and finally, in the difficult journey she walked, living life wholeheartedly in the shadow of a cancer diagnosis, Carol prayed. She prayed to the God who loved, she prayed to the God she loved and served with a faith tested by life experience and found to be trustworthy. Carol's legacy to me is an invitation to practice gratitude and contentment, creatively focusing on what I have rather than stewing about what I don't, to keep my hands open to receive the next invitation to adventure instead of holding on to what is familiar, and lastly, to talk to God about everything, trusting God's love for me, God's promises to me, and God's presence with me. The worship service tonight honors the legacy of Carol, but more importantly, the relationship that God pursues with each one of us through Jesus Christ, our Savior, until we are forever in God's eternal embrace. Because I am in relationship with the beloved Trinity, I have assurance of my own place in the embrace of God for all eternity, even while standing with my feet planted firmly in time. As I talked to God about this time I was given to share, an image of Carol kept coming to my mind. I was one of the girlfriends who participated in the wintertime getaway to Stuart, Florida in 2015 on that Kool-Aid budget. At the end of our last day at the beach, Carol introduced us to her practice of saying goodbye. She walked to the water's edge, waved to the ocean she loved and said something like, "Goodbye, until I see you again." And this evening, I wave goodbye for now to Carol, who I knew and loved. And I say thank you for the gifts you gave me with your life. Until I see you again, until I see you again in the beautiful, glorious, wonderful presence of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Praise be to God.
Thank you. Next, we'll hear from Sarah. I'm not sure where you're sitting. There she comes.
And Dave both have been some of the most influential people in my life. I lived with them in 2002, and Carol became a mom to me, teaching me practical ways how to care for my then 2-year-old daughter, and I was pregnant with my, and she taught me so much by her example, and that's what I was really blessed by. Not just her words, she sat and read to my daughters, and or my daughter, and through that, I learned to love to do that, and I still do that with my children, and I've passed that down. She taught me a lot of practical things. One of my favorite things that I always think about when I go to the grocery store is kind of funny, and I laugh about it, but at 18, sometimes I would pick things up and put them in my cart and then not want them, and I'd sit them throughout the store. And Carol was very gentle in her instruction, but she made it very clear that we don't do that. We return the item to where it belongs, or to gently let the cashier know that we didn't want that. And I just often think of that when I go to the grocery store, and have extended that knowledge to my children. And so it's just little practical things. She also talked about the more poor but good years, and I think of it when I hang out laundry. She mentioned about using the better towels for, you know, washing dishes, and then the other rags for the floor and whatnot, and being, just little things like that. That was a lifetime ago, and she had no idea the impact, and so many people that she would impact by just pouring into me and my babies. She would sing to my daughter Erin and pray over her. And I know that for years, her and Dave have prayed for me. And I know those prayers have changed my life, and they've changed the lives around me. They've left a legacy through me, where I live, that she poured into, that is just amazing. And she didn't know. She just was faithful in praying and loving in what appeared to be small ways, but they were magnificent, and they just continue to grow. And often I'll just realize certain things I'm doing, or the people that I'm hugging or quietly loving, are a legacy to her, and how she did that for me. I love Hebrews 11:1, and it says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see." And I know for years, Carol prayed for me in faith, in confidence of God's ability. And so I am just so grateful for that. One of my favorite stories was actually when she drove me to the hospital to have my son. Her and Dave were the pastors here then, and it was at like, I don't know, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. It was in the middle of the night, and I needed to quickly get to the hospital because I was in labor. And I thought it was the most hilarious thing that she actually went through a red light very carefully, but I told her that I was going to let everyone at church know that the pastor's wife went through a red light. And so that also brings me to her authenticity. Dave and Carol were the first people that I knew were for real, that Jesus was for real, because I lived with them. I always appreciated people at church when I came, but I thought, when they go home, who knows what they're like? And I lived with them, and I saw their love for each other. I saw their love for their family, their love for me, and it's real. And I've aspired to that good example. That was a huge blessing to me. I just wanted to share Jeremiah 33:3 is a verse that God keeps reminding me of recently. And I know that it's one that Carol lived by. And it says, "Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know." And so I just encourage all of us, as we celebrate Carol's life and her legacy, to continue to call out to God, because he is wise beyond our understanding, and he loves us. He invites us to call to him. And so I just invite all of us to continue to do that, and drawing closer to him, and to just love in simple, profound ways like Carol did. And I just lastly wanted to encourage all of us with this verse, especially the family and all of us who loved her. And it's 2 Thessalonians 3:16. "Now may the Lord himself, the Lord of peace, pour into you his peace in every circumstance and in every possible way. The Lord's tangible presence be with you all."
Next, we'll hear from daughter Jenny.
Well, Dan brings that over. I am going to share in the style of my mom, which would be to the kids. So, any of you like little kids who can get up here, if you can come, that would be great, because it's always easier to talk to kids when there's actually kids in front of you. You don't have to do anything. You can just come up so you can see. So, yeah, that's okay. You can sit right there or something. Good. Sit right there. So my mom, if you saw in some of the pictures, loved to read. She loved to read to our kids. She loved to read to her students. She loved to read to anybody who would wanted to hear a story. And we're separated from her now. She's not here with us. If she were here, she would be sitting on the steps with you guys. This is where she would like to be. And she enjoyed reading to kids. And that's a passion. Just involving kids in things is a passion she shared with me. She taught kids how to read, which, if you think about like words on a paper, to a kid who doesn't understand reading, it looks like lines and shapes. But she helped people see that they're words, and the words make sentences, and their sentences make stories. So I'm going to tell a story about Grace. Are there anybody in this room whose name is Grace? Our family, there's one. Our family knows about 5 girls named Grace. So much so that our son Jeremiah used to say, "Grace in my class," like it was one name, because we had to differentiate the different Graces. But I'm not talking about Grace as a name, or Grace as like a ballerina has grace, or you think of somebody that has polite manners, or you say grace before a meal. I'm going to talk about grace that is a verb. Does anybody know what a verb is? Means like the word is a action verb, like if it's a verb, it's an action, so it means it's something you do, not a person, place, or thing, but it's something that is done. So I looked up the definition of grace and found that it is, as a verb, defined as to favor or ennoble or add dignity to someone by something by someone's presence. So if you We could say that my mom graced this world with her presence. She added dignity, she added favor, and ennobled people with her presence. But this grace that I'm going to talk about, the story of grace, starts in a garden. I'm not going to get real detailed here, so there was a garden that God spoke into existence, and in it he formed a man and a woman, and he breathed his life into them. And he walked with them and talked with them, and they were together. But then one day they were deceived. They were told a lie that, well, and they believed it too, which was worse than just being told a lie. They believed it. That what looked good actually was good, and that God was withholding something from them. And so when they believed this lie, when they were deceived and believed this lie, what happened? Does anybody know what happened in this story? Yeah. Yeah, we'll get to that. First of all, they hid. He said God threw them out of the garden. That happens. But first of all, they hid from each other. They, like, covered themselves up and hid from each other because they realized they were different. And then they hid from God because they were afraid. So they believed this lie. They turned away from God, and they felt shame. They accused and blamed each other. They said, she made me do it. They said, she, and Eve said, I was deceived. And it was kind of a sad story. They were separated from God. So instead of walking and talking with God, there was fear and hiding, and paradise was lost. So have you ever, any of you ever felt pain because something isn't right, like you broke a bone so it's not in the right place anymore, or you did, Avery, didn't you? You broke your arm one time. I remember that. Or there's a broken relationship. Something's just not right. There's a separation. Or have you felt sad because someone moved away or you got separated from someone somehow? That's kind of like this story. But then how is this story about grace? If we're here in this sad, separated, broken place, things aren't right. Sometimes we feel angry when things aren't right too, right? Say, they shouldn't have listened to the liar. Like, this is not a good story, right? Don't be deceived. But the story doesn't end here, because God graced this world with his presence through Jesus. So there's this separation, but then God sends Jesus. This is not my best artwork, just saying. God sends Jesus into this mix here, this world. And Jesus walks around teaching truth, and Jesus heals sickness and disease and frees people from oppression, from evil spirits, and does a lot of bringing people, taking what's broken and wrong and making it right. He was in human form, but he was the nature of God. So God graced us, ennobled us. He added dignity to us by his own presence by sending Jesus. Because he loved us, he sent his son. And when Jesus left, so he came, he died, it was a perfect sacrifice, broke the separation because his blood made us right to be with God again. He died on the cross so we could be with God again. But when he left, he didn't leave us as orphans. He didn't leave us alone. He continued to grace us with his own presence because now the Spirit of God, because of that, could live in us. We don't even have to hide anymore. He comes right in. To be with us, so his presence can continue to grace us. So if my mom was sitting here with us, if she was here with us, this is the story that she would be telling you, because of all the friendships and relationships she has had in her life, of all the people that have graced her life over the years, Jesus' presence is the one that gives her the most dignity, the one that she holds on to even as others fade away, the one that will last forever. And so this is the story that she would want us all to know. The best story there ever is. And this is obviously only a little bit of the story, because if you want the whole story, here it is, but I don't think I have enough time to read it all. Find a Bible and read it, because there is a whole lot more detail to this story that is the greatest story ever. It's painful to be separated from those we love, and it hurts. When I think of the ways I'm going to miss my mom, it feels broken and not right and sad. But when I feel sad or angry because it doesn't seem right, God graces me with his presence by the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so this past year, when things seemed not right and broken and not good, I decided to turn to God and look at him and walk and talk with him about all this difficult mess of a story. And I think if I didn't do that, I don't really know where I would be right now, because he graced me with his presence enough to trust him. My mom wasn't perfect. There's really only one who's perfect, and there were times when she would have questions or she would be sad about not seeing her grandkids get older or get married or help them make wedding dresses and things like that, and that's what hurts to miss. But God graced her with his presence, and that's what God wants. He wants to be with us, and we don't need to wait for death for that to happen. We don't need to wait for death for us to meet him for the first time or to reunite with him. We don't need to wait for death to know him. Jesus can be known right now, today, and we can be with him. He can grace us with his presence, and I think he is graced this time with his presence already, so he's here, and if you haven't met him yet, just say hi, because I think he wants to be with you, too. Thanks.
Thank you, kids. Sarah Lehman, if you can make your way up here.
I'm Carol's oldest sister. We're 10 years apart in age, and I walk closely with Carol and Dave over this last year as I lived with them there in Florida. Carol amazed me with her boundless creativity. It was always a fascinating experience to go thrift store shopping with her. She was able to find the best bargains and see potential when I saw none. A month before her death, Carol gave me her most creative gift, and I have it on right now. I was asked to share my testimony at a women's conference. I talked with Carol about my idea of a shirt with removable sleeves that I could rip off, representing fear and shame. "Yes," Carol said, "something like that is possible." We began our adventure, heading off to Goodwill with the wheelchair in the back of the car. Meandering through the clothing racks, we found the perfect shirt. It even had pockets. A week later, she was on oxygen, but paced herself and was able to complete her creation with a removable collar, pockets, and sleeves, thanks to Velcro. During my presentation, I ripped off fear. Oh, here we go. I ripped off fear. I ripped off shame. I ripped off unworthiness. I ripped off perfection and bitterness. And I ripped off. Carol's legacy lives on as I continue to share with others using the shirt to illustrate the breaking of chains that bind us so that we can come into true freedom. The past year of living closely with Carol and Dave has been an honor. We had discussions concerning heaven, suffering, faith. After Carol learned of the reoccurrence of cancer, she fashioned a reminder to herself and to all who came into their home. Through it all, it is well with my soul. Carol taught me that regardless of circumstances, her faith was firmly anchored in her trust and belief in a living, loving, faithful God. She put her anchor down amid the stormy sea and discovered a stability in her spirit that even though at times her soul felt sad and her body was weakened. In this journey, there was uncertainty, but Carol was content to rest upon a deep faith that God would be with her and bring her into the full presence of his glory when her earthly journey was complete. As a result of her trust, her fear vanished, replaced by a deep sense of peace that radiated from her. This modeling taught me how to live and how to die. Carol lived each day to the fullest, also aware of her decreased physical strength. I would ask her, "Hey, you want to go to the pool this afternoon?" She would time the activity based upon her morphine medication. Dave pushed her in the wheelchair so that we could enjoy walking in the pool. Her neighbors and those at the pool marveled at her positive outlook and the joy in daily living. She refused to curl up in bed and wait to die. Her life had a purpose, and that was for others to come into a meaningful relationship with Jesus. Each day, she and Dave joined in prayer, believing their journey through suffering was a witness to God's provision and redemptive love. Their journey has given me the courage to share with my friends and neighbors the peace that one can experience during difficulties and loss. My faith and trust in Jesus has been deepened. I saw with my own eyes the fulfillment of Psalmist David's statement, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why didn't Carol have any fear? Jesus was with her. Carol's last few weeks made the presence of Jesus more real to me. I embrace life to the fullest and enjoy the challenge of sharing the love and acceptance of Jesus with others.
And one more, Deb Drexel.
I taught together for a lot of years, and I am really happy to have this time to share the things that I remember about Carol, but I'm pretty sure she's having a good chuckle right now because she knows that I'm way more comfortable standing in front of six-year-olds. Carol was many things: a devoted and loving wife, mom, grandma, and sister, a talented seamstress and author, a compassionate teacher and mentor, and a very special friend. She didn't like chocolate, but she did love ice cream. She could never wait till the weather was nice enough for her to wear flip-flops. She would bring her lunch to school in little glass containers, never got caught up in faculty room gossip, and made really good apple pies for all our special events. She was an excellent teacher, and children could sense that she loved and cared for each of them in a very special way. Carol and I had a very comfortable and close working relationship. We shared ideas and strategies and sought each other's help when faced with challenging first graders. She agonized over having to retire early because she said she wasn't ready yet, but her body just wasn't allowing her the strength that she said she needed for teaching first grade. Carol's faith was evident in all she did. I think I can speak for all of her friends at Peckway when I say how inspired we were with how she handled her diagnosis, and especially how she conducted her life through this last year when the cancer had returned. Her strength through this adversity has no doubt helped many at our school in their own walk of faith. In our phone conversations and frequent texts, Carol continued to be very positive about her health. She still enjoyed going to the beach, smelling the sea air, and watching the waves. She put all of her faith in God and told me she was at peace and not afraid. Her biggest concern, always, was that she was deeply saddened to be leaving her dear family. Carol faced her disease head on, and it always amazed me at how casually she would speak of her own mortality. In the last text that she sent me right before Memorial Day, she started off saying, "It's almost Memorial Day, and I'm still here," smiley face. That was just Carol. As sad as I was that she was going through this, it helped to know that she was joyful for what was coming for her in heaven. At the end of that message, her closing words and some of her last words to me were this. She said, "Whether I'm here on earth or in heaven, God is good. He knows how many days I have, and I continue to enjoy and be blessed by every one." To me, she never questioned why this was happening to her, but only hoped that her struggles would be a testament to those that she came in contact with. She told me several times that she was so happy that her condition had made so many people start talking to God by praying for her. I will miss my dear friend and will remember her with fond memories of teaching together, of the many sewing miracles she performed for my family, and living in the apartment in their house when we had our fire. But I will mostly remember Carol as one of the most outwardly sincere and devoted Christians I will ever know. As Carol took her last breath here on earth and her next breath in heaven, and as she gently passed into the loving arms of Jesus, I am completely certain she felt the joy she's been looking forward to these last months. Carol was a true teacher in every sense of the word. She taught us how to live, and this past year, she taught us how to die. I will miss her greatly, but her legacy lives on in the children she raised and the children she taught. I can think of no other person more deserving of the words from Matthew 25, verse 21, "Well done, my good and faithful servant."
Did you look back at the guy?
Thank you so much for all who shared and all the stories that are represented here. We're going to transition to Jason and Mindy Wolf coming. They are pastors at Life Church. They're going to share a little bit of a scripture and maybe a teaching lesson that Carol might have wanted us to hear yet.
Yeah. Check. I'm Jason. This is my wife, Mindy, and we met Dave and Carol just almost 10 years ago when we had just looked at, well, we had looked at about 30-some houses as we were moving into Lancaster, and we finally discovered the right house, and shortly thereafter met our neighbors, who happened to be Dave and Carol in the providence of God, and they weren't just neighbors, they became pastors to us. They became friends and encouragers. But it was the summer of 1977 when, after returning from South Carolina, where she was teaching for a special needs school in Anderson, South Carolina, that after returning from that school, that Carol wanted to learn how to play guitar. And so she found a guitar instructor with some stylish long hair and some 70s bell bottoms, and his name was Dave. And as they say, the rest is history, because by 1980, Dave and Carol would begin their 39-year journey together as a husband and wife, which would inspire us all. And it wasn't too long after that when came their first daughter, Jenny, who's now married to Dan, and then Aldra, who's married to Jared, and eventually the 8 grandchildren sitting here. And she really loved the grandkids, as has already been stated tonight. Discovering her love for teaching kids early in her life, she eventually got her teaching degree and began to teach the first grade in the public school system, as we've heard. And while most of us would be completely overwhelmed in a room of 20 first graders, it was there that Carol was really, truly in her sweet spot. And whether at church or at school or at home, she loved teaching children. Carol and Dave enjoyed many adventures together, probably more than most of us could fit in 2 or 3 lifetimes, actually. Together, they would renovate homes. They would start churches, as we've already heard. They would start a fellowship of churches where Carol would serve and pour into and minister the wives of pastors. And Carol and Dave also worked together in the starting of Prince Street Cafe. Carol wrote a children's book, which will be on sale in the lobby, right? If you'd like to pick one of those up tonight. In 2009, they pulled together to fill a lifelong dream of Carol's, and using her passion and love for hospitality, she wanted to have a home that could function as a center for refreshment and revitalization for tired and worn-out ministry leaders. And so their home on Conestoga Boulevard, otherwise known as Quiet River Cottage, would become a place of encouragement and refreshment for so many weary travelers. But it was in early 2014 when Carol began complaining of a growing pain behind her ear. One doctor, on a hunch, started looking to see if it could be cancer. And by the spring, it had been determined that this was, in fact, true. It was July 7th, 2014, just almost 5 years ago tonight, that Carol had surgery to remove the tumor and then was followed with radiation. One result of the surgery was the damage to some of the nerves that controlled her facial muscles. She didn't always like very much how this turned out. Whenever we took a selfie with Carol, she would make sure that it was her good side showing. And she wasn't hesitant to ask you to take the picture a few more times to make sure it was turning out to her specs. But she returned teaching to her beloved first grade class in the fall of 2016. But as the school year progressed, as we've just heard, complaining of low energy, she eventually stepped down from her teaching career. And as she was always ready for a new adventure, her and Dave decided to sell their Quiet River Cottage. And on January 1st, 2018, they relocated to Florida. And it's good that Carol loved change, because that was their 14th move together. And as my wife and I sat with Carol just back in January, and we talked with her, even then she was speaking with hope and optimism and positivity about the new adventure that she was now on, one that would bring her to her final destination. In John 14, Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many rooms. I'm going to prepare a place for you." And I think it's possible that maybe Jesus might have left some portions of Carol's place just a little unfinished, or maybe some ratty carpet or something, so she could replace it. She could do some thrift shopping and bring it up to her, put her special touch on it. But it was in April 2018 when, on a return visit to the doctor, a chest x-ray showed that Carol's lungs were both filled with cancer. Follow-up procedures determined this cancer was not just in her lungs, but it was all through her body. And the diagnosis was grim. Words were uttered by doctors that we don't ever want to hear for ourselves or for anyone else. This is inoperable. There's no treatment. And even in this bleak situation, Carol knew that she could trust God. She had a settled peace with God as to how the final chapter of her story would be written. And so it was that 13 months after this diagnosis, on June 27th, 2019, at 11:54 p.m., during her sleep, Carol passed from this life and went to be with her beloved Savior, Jesus Christ. And this room is profound evidence, this filled room is profound evidence that Carol's life was one that impacted hundreds, maybe thousands of people. And my wife and I are two of those people.
When Carol asked me to speak at her funeral, I kind of couldn't hear anything she said after the initial, "Will you speak at my service?" Everything like kind of went dark for me a little bit. Like I saw her lips moving, but all I could hear was this like wind in my head, like, "Oh my God, what do you want me to say? Speak?" You see, I'm a crier. If I see someone tearing up, I don't even need to know why. The sympathy tears form and they just start falling from my own eyes. I had actually showed up late to meet her and Dave that very day because I had to pull over in a nearby neighborhood, park on their street and try to like get a hold of myself and stop bawling my eyes out. And Carol knew I was a crier. So when we visited with them in January, she showed us the video that you will all watch in a few minutes. I cried the whole time. It stopped, and she looked at us, and she looked at me, and she said, "You're going to speak right after this." This big smile on her face. I was like, "Carol, come on. How am I supposed to do that?" She said, "Watch it about 10 times before the service, and you'll be fine." So I don't know. This morning, Dave called and suggested moving the video to after my talk for other reasons, and I was relieved. maybe it'll do better. I don't know. I guess we'll see. So even though it overwhelms me to consider speaking to all of you today, I knew as soon as she asked me that I would do it. Carol showed up for me personally through some of the most lonely and difficult days of my life. She let me sit on her couch and pour my heart out in safety while she listened. She always offered me some tea, and she prayed with me. I always felt as though we had met with God after leaving our time together. She was kind of like the spirit of Jesus with skin on for me, if that makes sense. Carol knew that God was for her everyday life. For every situation and struggle and joy and challenge, she never shied away from any of it, the good or the bad. For years, she invited a group of pastors' wives to gather for Saturday morning breakfast, as Melanie mentioned. I was lucky to be a part of that group. She wanted us to know that we were not alone and for us all to be encouraged. We would sit down to plates full of yummy food, and she would say, "Who wants to go first? Share your oh joys and your oh boys." And we got to sit there and lay it all out on the table, the good things and the hard things. It didn't matter if it was pretty or neat or even appropriate sometimes. The good things and the hard things, all of it got to come. We laughed a lot, and we shared many tears, too. She always let us know that whatever we brought to the table was okay. God was big enough to handle any of it. He just wanted us, and she showed us that. Not just the cleaned up us that's ready for a Sunday service, but the us that may be struggling deeply with questions, ideas, or people, our marriages and families, our jobs or ministries, and the us that was experiencing great joy and fun also. One of the things Carol mentioned in her thoughts, about this service was talking about the opportunity each of us has to have a real, genuine, useful relationship with Jesus, a connection with a daily presence that's comforting, guiding, correcting, inspiring, filled with joy, courage, and hope. She wanted me to ask you, do you know him as a daily presence? My husband and I started our church with the same desire to help people find connection with Jesus, with God, in a way that's real and useful all the time. Carol gives us an opportunity to consider our connection with him even more because she was able to show us in a unique way with her dying days that even when life was as hard as it gets, Jesus can still ground us and hold us and carry us through. She referenced John 17:3 as meaning a lot to her through this last year. John says in this verse, "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Eternal life. If you're like me, when you hear this, you might tend to think of that as something to be experienced off in the future. But here we see eternal life is simply knowing God. And that can be true for us today and every day after today. Eternal life is not just eternal life, like the kind of life that comes after death that Carol is experiencing ahead of us today. But eternal life is life that's for us and with us right now, too. It's more about like quality of life than it is about a timing of life. There's another story in the Bible where Jesus and a woman are talking about eternal life, and it helped me understand a little more about it. So I'm going to take a few more minutes to share with you, as Carol asked me to. What moved me as I was considering these stories and ideas about connection with God and eternal life. So the story goes like this. Jesus is traveling. He's been walking for a long distance, and it's now noontime, so it's hot. He's weary. He's tired when he sits down. He sits down beside a well, and it's lunchtime. So this particular noontime, there was a woman there. She was of a different ethnicity than him, and his people did not associate or speak with her people. They were against each other, enemies by anyone's standard, and they had been for many generations. But Jesus, who's tired and thirsty, asks for a drink. She responds by reminding him that his people do not speak to her people, and she asks him, "Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replies to her, "If you only knew the gift God had for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." So after they converse again about where this living water is coming from and how he's going to get it, Jesus adds some more explanation, and he says, "Those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." You see, outside of us, things shift and change. But deep inside of us is our soul, or maybe you can refer to it as your essence. That's where eternal life is. It's a gift. It's from God. It's the kind of life that's fresh and active, and it's bubbling up from deep within. This is the kind of active and satisfying life that Carol knew in her relationship with Jesus. His life was deep within her, moving and living and grounded within her soul. It's a gift from God to know that life and to live in that kind of life today and into the future. When the storms outside of us come and go, you have this unique quality of life to ground you and inspire you and to satisfy you. That's eternal life. This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, who you have sent. I don't know what it all means. I have questions about so many things in the Bible and questions about my faith. But just like Carol will say in her video, I know I need Jesus far more than I need understanding. So one of the last times Carol and I sat together on the beach, I asked her how she was feeling about it all. She said she was sad for us, but also at peace and even excited sometimes herself. She said she'd lived a good, full life. She had a husband and children she loved. She'd worked a job she loved, enjoyed many adventures and relationships with her family and friends, seen her grandchildren be born and grow. She said she'd done all she had hoped to do. She was sad for us and the pain that we would feel. But what else was there for her but to join Jesus? I found that to be so beautiful. I don't know what kind of life you have today and what paths you have chosen or found yourself to be on. But no matter what the circumstances of our lives may look like, we have the opportunity to trust that God has a gift for us, and it's the living water that resides fresh, bubbling up, satisfying us deep within our souls, within our essence. The faith Carol had in God inspired her for years, and she was looking forward to experiencing him in a new way. But even as she was leaving, she was thinking of us and saying to us, "Trust Jesus. I trust Jesus, and I hope you'll trust him too." So at this point, we all get to hear Carol's heart in this video that she recorded for us last October.
If you are watching this video, it means that I'm celebrating my new life with Jesus in heaven. I'm finally seeing God, my Father, face to face. And now I am able to understand truths that while on earth, I could only believe in faith. If there are children in heaven and stories waiting to be read, you can be sure that I am sitting among the children reading them stacks and stacks of wonderful stories. As once a first grade teacher, always a first grade teacher, even into eternity. Author Tony Nolan writes, God the covenant keeper can be trusted. He may bring us through our troubles, like he did for Moses and Daniel, but it might just be that we suffer from the fallout of a sin-cursed world so deeply that it costs us our lives. What then? We can look to Jesus and let it fuel our faith. As 2 Corinthians 4:14 says, he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus. It may not turn out the way we planned it or would like for it to go, but God can be trusted. I always thought I would teach first grade until I was too old to sit in the little chairs anymore. One morning, while listening to God and praying for the healing of my body, it seemed God was saying, I have a bigger picture than simply healing your physical body. Trust me. So I trusted God in his bewildering, puzzling, troubling, but perfect plan, even though I was not able to see it fully at that moment. I simply prayed and asked God for what I knew. When those around me tried to make sense out of this cancer that would take my life, I always had a deep sense that God's larger, grand, more complete plan was unfolding, something far greater than our human eyes were able to see. The key for me was to trust. Regarding questions to God about his wife's death from cancer, C.S. Lewis mused, it's as if God shakes his head, not in refusal, but to set aside the question, like, peace, child, you don't understand. We ask, how many hours are there in a mile? Is yellow square or round? Probably half the questions we ask, half our great theological and metaphysical problems are like that. Whether I received answers to why things happened the way they did or not, I knew I needed Jesus far more than I needed understanding. I didn't understand, so I trusted. Trust was the answer for me, and I found God had made that easy for me. God sees and knows the bigger, more comprehensive plan for your life, too, so trust him. When I got the news that my lungs were cluttered with masses that did not belong there, my first thought was the name of friends that did not have a relationship with Jesus. My immediate silent prayer was, Lord, let this journey that I am about to embrace lead them to you. Each of us was created to be in relationship with God, and that is what he longs for. For those of you who are estranged from God, he has not taken this loss lightly. He longs for your return and searches for ways to reach your soul. My hope is that my brief time on this earth inspired others to find their way back to the relationship with God. I was blessed to know many of you were praying daily for me and my family during this journey. I imagined your times of interceding, talking to God our Father, having conversation with him on my behalf. My greatest desire was that those times you had with God strengthened your relationship with him. Now that there is no need to pray for me because I am completely healed and with Jesus, I hope you continue conversing with Jesus and that your relationship with him grows even stronger. Because Jesus' suffering on the cross gave me such life, It doesn't seem too much if my suffering helped you find Christ. My earthly choices are now finished. I chose Jesus, and I chose to trust. You are still making your choices. One day, our granddaughter declared God's goodness and greatness as she prayed for my healing. She ended with, "Help us be glad about whatever God does." Such an honest and trusting prayer. Whatever happens is good because God is good, loving, powerful, and perfect. And now I see this grand reality completely. So be glad. This is a happy day.
Tonight, we're in Carol's final class. We are her students. Just as a first grade teacher does with her students today, Carol is gathering us around her. And even through her final chapter of life, she wants to teach us something. And this is what she wanted you to know, that God can be trusted. There's a moment in her video where she says, "One morning while I was listening and praying with God about the healing of my body, it seemed God was saying to me, I have a bigger picture than simply healing your earthly body. Trust me." Then she says, "So I trusted him." And because she trusted him, Carol placed her life and her cancer in the hands of Jesus. And in return, he gave her peace. Just as this scripture says, Romans 15:13, "May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him." Carol believed this deeply, that even though you may experience pain or difficulty or illness or sickness or even death, it doesn't mean that God has forgotten you, that he doesn't love you, that he doesn't care about you. But rather, no matter what happens in life, you are loved by God and you can trust him. Some of us wanted God to demonstrate his love for Carol by taking away the suffering, by removing the cancer. But when these things were mentioned, Carol would assert, "God showed me his love through Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross. I don't need to be healed in order to know that I am loved." This is one of the profound realities of the life of Jesus, that he didn't take away all of our suffering, not yet, but instead he entered into it. God became one of us. He walked with us. He talked with us. He laughed with us. He cried with us. He was laughed at. He was mocked. He was betrayed and eventually wrongfully murdered and crucified on a cross. See, God is no stranger to pain. Jesus suffered great pain as he laid down his life for us 2,000 years ago. This is God's demonstration of love for us, and he did this long before any of us did anything good or bad. And this God who loves us so much is completely trustworthy through the storms of life, because he himself walked through similar storms. And Carol, she knew this. She knew this, it seems, more than anybody I have ever met in my life. Dave relayed to me just a couple of days ago and has given me permission to share this with you, that during her final days when she was in an unresponsive state, that even in those moments, she had a peaceful countenance, that even the veteran nurses who were working at the hospice remarked that they had rarely seen in anyone. And when her time to meet Jesus had finally come, and she breathed her last breath, those who were present said that something unexpected happened. It's as if her body was finally at rest, but her face regained the symmetry of wholeness, so much that she was no longer even showing the paralyzing effects from her 2014 surgery. It was a sacred moment. Peace. Perfect peace. Rest in peace, Carol, for you will be greatly missed. Your work here is done, and your new adventure will be the best ever. And as she told us just a minute ago, her choices are finished. She chose Jesus, and she chose to trust. But we are still making our choices. So tonight, before we're done celebrating Carol, Carol wanted to give us all an opportunity to trust. In the video, again, she says, while I was listening and praying with God, it's when she kind of heard that voice saying, trust me. And she did, and he gave her the gift of peace. So tonight, as we finish, I'd like to ask everyone just to do what Carol did. Let's follow her example. Let's learn from the teacher. And let's listen and maybe talk a little with Jesus in these final moments. And so I'd ask you to close your eyes. Together, we'll all do this together and follow her example in this. And I'll say a few things to kind of guide us along in this way, but this is a moment for you to listen. Listen to Jesus. So close your eyes. Take a deep breath. If you could meet Jesus anywhere at all for a one-on-one meeting, where would that be? Envision that place in your mind's eye. Maybe it's on a mountaintop, or maybe it's by a lake, or in a church, or in your home. See yourself there in that place. Now, if Jesus were to meet with you there, how might he come to you? Envision him. Imagine him approaching you. And now, if you could look Jesus in the face, what do you think you'd see? What is his expression? And now listen. Does he have anything to say to you? Is there anything that you would want to give him? Maybe it's your hurts, or your doubts, or your sickness, or your worries, or maybe your life. Envision that, whatever that thing is, in your hands in front of you. Now you hear some footsteps coming up next to you, unexpectedly. And as you turn, you see it's Carol. Now hear her voice say to you, go ahead, let Jesus have it. You can trust him. Will you trust him tonight? Will you give him your worry, your hurt, your sorrow, your pain? your sin, your hopes, your dreams? If so, quietly in your spirit, you can speak to him and just say, Jesus, I trust you. And give it to him. Jesus, through your Spirit, you're here with us now in these quiet moments. And Carol is with you. We thank you for her. We thank you. And thank you that we were blessed to know her. Comfort us now as we mourn her loss and as we celebrate her amazing life and legacy. Help every one of us walk away from here tonight with a deep sense of peace as we're trusting you through the circumstances of our lives. And may you help us all come to the conclusion, just as Carol did, that as long as we are with you and whatever happens in life, it's well with our soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Rejoicing tonight with us. And the band is going to lead us in another song as we kind of continue to celebrate her life. But if any of you feel like you would want prayer or to talk to someone tonight about trusting Jesus or anything of that long, there will be some volunteers here after the service who will be up front or around the aisles and will be ready to pray with you. For now, guys.
Through it all, my eyes are on.
So we've been singing that song as a statement. I would just pose it as a question. Is that a true statement for you? Is it well with your soul? And you've heard clearly tonight where that wellness comes from, where that peace and that hope comes from through Christ. Again, just thank you for joining us. Thank you for coming to remember Carol, to honor her, to support the family. Just a few things. We're almost finished. There's a couple announcements. As you leave, we have some light refreshments out in the cafe where you entered. If you would like to take part in that, that is available for you. I understand the family is going to linger in the sanctuary here following the service. So if you want to greet them, it might be a challenge with as many people are here, but you may have opportunity to greet them. And you'll see these cards out in the lobby on the table. It's called My Fondest Memories. And you heard from 5 people tonight. Imagine how long we could go if all of you would share your memories of Carol. So the idea is, if you'd be willing to write them, do you realize what a blessing it will be to Dave and to the girls and to their families, just in time to pull these out and to read the memories that you write down? So I encourage you to do that. Before you leave, if you could grab one of these, write a memory and put it in the box that's provided. If you parked your car remotely and rode the shuttle here, that same van will be available at the main entrance where you were dropped off, and you can make your way there as you're ready to leave, and we'll get you back to where your car is. And just to repeat something Jason said as we wrap up here, there will be several people at the front that will be wearing a yellow badge that have volunteered to just be available for prayer. So if we can pray with you, we'd be happy to do that. Audra, come on over. I think I'm done my list now. And Audra has something to share yet.
Well, on behalf of my family, thank you all for being here. And ever since I was a small girl, I remember my mom loving the beach. She loved the sand and the sun and the waves crashing on the shore. Always made her smile. One of her favorite things to do was to cruise the beach shore and look for seashells. And I think it's just amazing how many hours she spent looking for seashells, and the grandkids loved looking with her, and sometimes she'd find a really cool one, and other times she would tell you that the hole, sometimes there was ones with holes, and she would say, oh, those make really good, like, wind chimes, and other times, yeah, it just didn't matter what it looked like. All the ones the grandkids pulled up, she thought were so cool. But when we find a seashell on the beach, it is no longer a living organism. It's done living. It's now just a cherished item that we can take with us and remember that walk on the beach and remember our fond memories of that time that we found this treasure. And I reflect on that with my mom's life, and we get to leave here, and we get to remember the treasure that we had for her 60 years here. But it also, the seashells also provide homes for other animals and nutrients to the beach and the anchors for seagrass and plant life, and it's such a beautiful thing. Just like the legacy that she has planted in each of you, the seeds that Jesus used in her life to plant seeds in your lives, and how we could go on forever of just the many blessings that she has been to all of us. We were able to bring a bunch of seashells back here from her favorite beach in Stuart, Florida. And I want you to take one tonight. And in remembrance of Mom, I want you to remember, above all, her love for Jesus, and that she loved sharing her love with all of us and her students. And I want you to also remember her trust in Jesus. We heard that countless times. But also, she said, it's a happy day. And so when you reflect on her life and you reflect on the seashell and you reflect on this evening, remember that it is to be celebrated. Her 60 years here, she was a great mom. She was a great wife. And she was an amazing woman. And we're going to celebrate her by singing one of her songs that she wanted us to sing Oh Happy Day. So please stand, and we are going to go out with a happy day.
Death is beaten, you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. The empty cross, the empty grave. Life eternal.
Thank you guys. You're dismissed. Have a great evening.